Hello, everybody. I just want to take a quick few seconds to remind you, as always, to hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice if you do like the podcast. Also, comment as well. I know I talk about it multiple times through the podcast episodes and the channel, and I know it can be a little annoying for those who have heard this a long time, but it definitely helps us gain some more traction. We've had more podcast engines reach out to get us published on their sites too. So it does work, I promise. And again, guys, thank you so much for the support as always. This one, we're going to be focusing on the new patch, the new season, some CDPR news, things like that. So a little late, but better late than never. So we should actually have two episodes this week. Should be kind of cool. So, all right, guys, without further ado, here we go. No guests tonight. We just have the amazing Q-Cento and Ezra, the original people of the podcast. So how you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good, man.
Doing good, man.
Yeah. Can't complain. So we got some things to talk about, finally, with Gwent.
It took patch us a while.
Yeah, patch 8.2, the Season of Love. I think the Season of Love was like when I started playing Gwent. Is the Season of Love always March?
February?
That would make sense, right? Because it's like... Not March, February. Yeah, because it's Valentine's, right?
Yeah,
I still don't know how it works. Is there like four main seasons, or are there like a season every single month? I should know this by now, but...
That's a good question. But I mean, if you think about it,
I don't know. Yeah.
What did they say? Like next... Well, no, it's already happening, right? Because this Lunar New Year would be Season of the Ox, or Year of the Ox. So it's like last year was Year of the Were-Rat. I don't know when they decided to do that.
Yeah, it's the Season of Love. And we have the challenge in questing is Yennefer of Vengerberg. So I'm actually excited for that. It's pretty cool. Exactly.
Yennefer's Bay. So,
you can pay the extra money to get the crazy leader skins, card backs, avatars. You get stuff anyways, but the extra journey get you some more stuff. That's probably the best value in my opinion. So I would say
I saw somebody today in the chat. They said, "When are we gonna get Yen's lingerie suit?"
Of course.
Oh.
Because yeah, then they're saying after Yen's gonna be Triss, right? Because that's his true love or something. I mean,
it only makes sense.
Yeah, only makes sense. So
we'll have to wait 3 months though.
Yeah. Besides, lots of cosmetics, card backs, as we can always expect. Lots of game balance changes, new visual effects, and some fixes. So a lot of people were asking for a lot of this. The devs and community manager did have a little Twitch stream, I think, YouTube video. You can watch that they kind of went over their changes, which I like to see. So neutral was the first one that they listed on the play. You can actually see the patch notes on playgwent.com if you don't know. So we see some changes to, you know, Dancing Star, Demetrium Bomb, right? So it looks like they're trying to make this stuff more viable. Yeah, right?
I mean, bombs, yeah. I think they just tried to give Madox some more support, honestly. Because, I mean, it's not like he didn't get enough support last season. It's just now they make it a little bit more, what's the word, cost-friendly in terms of provisions. Because a lot of those bombs were just like 3 to 4 damage, and then, you know, 5 provisions. Like, it just didn't seem right.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, if you look at Dancing Star, for example, the provision being changed from 5 to 4 put it from like an awkward place to a very comfortable place, and it sort of gives the Fallibor effect, right? Damaging a unit, and if it's destroyed, damage one set of right. So that's really interesting for 4 provision. I also think that Red Haze is going to see a lot more play, and it's going to be frustrating to play against because with Red Haze, you have the ability to damage a unit by the adjacent unit's power, and that could get pretty ugly. If I'm not mistaken, that's the effect. I'm not looking at the card right now, but it's going to be like a tough one to play around for 4 provision. It's easy to fit in any deck.
Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, if you think about it too, also with the amount of bombs that got, I guess, buffed in a sense in terms of provision cost, that just means now Madoc will have even more non-interactivity, I guess, if you want to put it that way, if he's not answered by a heat wave or something.
Yeah, and finally, it gives Blue Dream a place to actually be seen now.
Oh, you mean Dragon's Dream? Yeah, that's gonna
Dragon
be
Stream, yeah.
nuts.
I'm like, it's
I was like,
blue and
Blue
it
Dream.
says, yeah, Dragon Stream,
That's true.
100%.
I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, that was off the top. It's been a long time since I've seen the card being played, and I saw it today, and I was like, holy crap.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 11 provisions for what? It does 3 damage to every unit, or is it 3 damage in total?
It's every unit on the row, I believe.
Oh, damn.
And
Yeah,
that's quite good
that's.
against like a swarm.
But yeah, for sure.
Or something that row stacks like Lippy? Oh, man.
I've been searching Google for like the last like minute and a half trying to find that website where I can put the names of cards in to see what they are. And then I finally found it.
The
I
Voice of
forgot.
Gwent. I have it
It's
bookmarked
just
for that reason. I always
a bunch
forget
of
for a
dot
second, then
one.
I'm like.
So Maxi Van Decker got position change from 6 to 5, which I think is was pretty awesome. Look at your deck in order from top to bottom. You may shuffle your deck, then put a card on the bottom of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen Spyro use that today. He was saying it's actually not bad now because like it'll let you see the order, and then you know if it's something you don't want, then you can just change your mulligans around one time, which is really nice.
I suppose with like the influx of the clogging decks right now, it might actually be good because if you know your top deck's gonna be a bunch of tokens and crap, you have the ability to reshuffle that to maybe increase the likelihood of getting something better. So I mean, at first I thought it was awkward, but when I started playing today, I'm like, all right, you know what? It has its potential because it got the buff, it's affordable now, it has a sick 6-point body, and you can actually maybe sort of fix the deck a bit, right?
Yeah, and Nivellen got a provision change from 8 to 6. That's a pretty big provision change, and that's moved 3 adjacent units to the other row. So that could be good for doing some row effects for sure, and some other awesome things as well, right?
100%. I look at maybe bringing that into like a Guerrilla Tactics deck again, or you know, anything that's kind of row punish heavy. You might even see some play with it in Monsters.
One thing that surprised me the most is the amount of locks that got supported this patch. Like it seems like every faction got their specific lock like teched in, except for monsters. Obviously, monsters don't really have locks.
Yeah,
They
the
actually removed the Syndicate lock oh yeah,
with the
that is true.
Kurt, yeah.
Kurt got removed. He's now just a bounty card.
We even have the provision bonus to imprisonment as well, right? So there's
Yeah,
some stuff going
17
on with lock
provisions.
for sure. Regis power got changed from 2 to 3. You know, that's your neutral damage on units on enemy row by 1, and if any were destroyed, repeat the ability as initiative.
Which makes it always fun
So,
if you can play it first.
wonder why they moved it to 3.
I think
I
that's one of
think
the
it's
more
just.
underwhelming changes, to be honest. I don't think it's going to make the card great again.
Yeah, I mean, it's also an expensive card. Is that 13 provisions?
Yeah, it went right up there.
Yeah. So I mean, it has the potential to do a lot of damage if you set it up just right.
Yeah, and then Scorch position change from 12 to 11,
Yep.
which is going to be
It's a
sure
step in the
signs of
right
play.
direction.
It's
I
getting
still
there.
think it's really hard to set up, especially if they have engines on the board. It's still probably more efficient to be running Curse of Corruption, but you know, if it was 10, then it's considerable, but I think 11's still a little expensive.
Yeah. We got Vader Mecker power change from 5 to 6. So I think this is another example of them trying to bring bombs, weather, and row effects back into the mix. Melee increase all row effect durations by 1. Range decrease all row effect durations by 1. So I think again, trying their hardest to get bombs and weather effects back in the game.
I mean, has anybody ever really used Vader Maker, to be honest? Like,
Well, I
I've
mean,
never seen
provision
it.
change from 7 to 6, power change from 5 to 6. I mean, that could make some interesting decks, I would think. I mean,
I mean, if you think about it,
Exactly.
he's a
No one
one-time use with
expects the
Madoc.
Spanish Inquisition, you know?
Yeah, or you, so he could work with Frost. I mean, I think that's probably
Yeah.
why they did it.
And the indirect buffs to like the Crimson Curse and all that sort of
Yeah.
vampire deck that we're starting to see. I mean, there's definitely some potential there because you get the extra value from all the thriving vampires, right?
It's definitely making things a little bit more interesting. I mean, you have a Xavier Lemons, provision change from 8 to 6, ability change to Zeal.
I'm actually, I saw that today. It's
Yeah.
super
It's
interesting.
literally a one turn squirrel. It's actually pretty crazy. Like, I actually
Yeah.
banished my entire graveyard, like, and I was running Skellige. I was like, what is this?
Banish
This
a
is
card from
actually
your
not
opponent's
bad.
graveyard or banish a card from your graveyard. So that can definitely deal with maybe like deal with Lippi, right? That'd be a great card for that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it could deal with even better now, because it's once per turn.
Would also be good against what do you call it? Like if the Viper deck comes back.
Yeah, and I think it actually might because there's actually some changes to Viper as well. So I think
Yeah,
you have a, I think you're kind of
we got a
onto something
lower.
there for sure.
I think we got a lower provision costs.
Yeah, so they're pretty much their thing was that the provision cost it was just way too expensive. I mean, two, it doesn't sound like a lot, but a two digit increase or decrease in provision cost is a lot. I mean, that's kind of like no one's playing this fucking card. Like we either got to get people playing it or got to stop people playing it. So they're saying they think it's going to be less swingy and more interactive, so it gives the opponent a chance to react since it is in order with a cooldown. But it has zeal. I'm confused.
The thing that confuses me is that, like, they, you know, I mean, we are jumping our in like all around, but like when it comes to changing certain cards up and then like trying to get them to be playable in a sense, like, you know, with Xavier and all these other cards, like these cards that nobody probably really used that often since probably like early Homecoming days.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean they plan on like buffing and nerfing all cards? Or is it just ones that they want to see play again?
Maybe ones that they think can change up some of the issues
Yeah.
will probably be
Because,
my
I mean, there's
guess,
still
but
some card. I mean, Q-Sento's favorite card over here, Pezzan Militia. Like, when is that going to get buffed?
which one?
Pezzan Militia? Remember
Oh
that?
yeah, the best card in the game.
Yeah, the best card in the game, dude.
So we have some. It is Yennefer as the part of the season, so we're gonna see some changes to that. So we have the change to Yennefer of Vengerberg, provision change from 11 to 10. So wanting to play. Then we have, and if you guys don't know what that card is, that's pretty much boost all other units by 2 or damage all other units by 2. So it could be really good for dealing with decks that are gonna play super wide and they're trying to set up certain effects. Or for decks that you have a huge advantage and you're playing super wide and they're playing super tall, that can help a lot too. And there's all crazy things you can do with it too.
Yeah, it has like the Tin Boy effect or like just the swarm effect. And I like the buff to that one. I think that's actually going to see a lot more play. It's going to be really good
I would
in
think
rat
so
decks for
too.
sure. But it allows you to fit another gold in there too with your deck. So by cutting that's actually really sweet.
All right, so let's talk about the big change that everybody wanted, that took 2 months for them to finally do, the change to Vi or V.
You're skipping.
Seven provisions.
You
We
skipped
I
Yennefer,
skipped? Oh, I
Conjurer.
skipped? Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn it, God.
I thought the monster section was next.
Apologize to you.
I think he was saying that nobody plays Yennefer of Conjurer.
No, actually, she's actually not bad. You know, I wish I could make a deck with her, but I don't have her yet.
Deal 1 damage to the highest enemy units with the Zeal cooldown. Okay, so because you spoiled everything, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, so yeah, Vi got a provision change. It got nerfed to 2, so now it's 14 provisions.
So like we and were talking it's... about, stop playing the card, 12 to 14.
Yeah. And then its power got down down by 1 to 7. So
8 to 7.
Yeah, 8 to 7. So yeah, I mean, it's a big change, but I mean, I still think it's still going to be played. I mean, everybody's saying Vi's dead now. It's not going to be played. No, that's not entirely true. You probably lose a tutor.
Dead.
Yeah. You probably lose maybe a tutor, maybe like the Vilum or something, but I don't think it's dead.
I think people
are still going to run it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I don't think it's going to be so mindless now because they've made some changes. Overwhelming Hunger, the charges were changed from 3 to 2 with the provision bonus changed from 14 to 15. So I think they're trying to... Well, the Ikimara power was changed from 2 to 3 as well. So they're kind of giving some, taking some and giving some.
Yeah.
The problem with it now, though, is that given that Haunt recently got the nerf a couple months ago and that was raised in provisions, and now we have Vi as well that's been kind of nerfed and raised in provisions, there's not going to be enough room to run maybe some of the more consistent tutors that we have, right? Some of them are randomized, for example, like the spying unit, but you might even have to drop your Oniro in this case to fit extra consumes into the deck, as well as actually having enough ways to bring the Vi out in order to make it work, right? So it's going to be something in that Royal Decree range that might have to be taken out, or Oniro range, to make it actually work. And if anybody was running Heatwave or any sort of tall ban, that's going to have to be out of the question as well now. So I don't really think that the deck's going to see a lot of play at this point.
Yeah,
as far as like competitive, maybe recreational still, yeah.
Yeah,
and I think what a lot of people don't realize too is that with this change, you are losing out, you know, on a potential what, 7 to 8 points, maybe 9, I guess, if you want to go that route, which is a lot for Vi, because you know that's basically one extra consume. Not to mention, you know, you may not even see a 29 powered Vi or 32 powered Vi ever coming back again. It may only get up to 20. One, you know, something like that,
which isn't always going to be, you know, the win for sure, you know.
No,
it just seems more affordable to start throwing the Maruna Detlaf package back into the mix, and that's what I like best, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's how Deathless should have been.
Yeah,
I actually don't mind that.
Is that
because you got the Urn, you got the Aussie, like that, for what it's worth on the first playthrough, is enough points to kind of replicate maybe 3 or 4 Vi consumes at this point.
Mm-hmm. The Bridge Troll provision changed from 5 to 4, so that's a 8-point play for 4 provision. Death Wish boosts the highest unit by 4. Harpy token power change from 5 to 6, the token that's spawned by Harpy Egg, so you're going to see some Death Wish decks, I think, coming.
You have no idea. Eggs.
That brings me back, man. Someone's got to do a Weavis 6.0 on this one here.
Well, what's so funny is I went, I was on Twitter this morning, and I saw Briefs, Fushia Briefs, and he has a 5x incantation deck. And I was like, oh, God, I need to read the patch notes if he just released this. And I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, that'll fill your board in one turn for sure.
He got, I think he said it was the most likes he got upvoted on. It was like 80 something that he got for his 5x deck.
Oh, that one's on the trending list right now.
Yeah, I think it's the top.
It's at the top. Mm-hmm. It's the most he ever got, is what he was really happy about.
It's a pretty sick concept.
Yeah. I think the crazy part too was I think he said that it still could work. It's just obviously you just don't probably run as many Death Wish units, because you think I would think you'd want to run those eggs more. Those eggs now with having the 6-power Harpy come out of them, the Urn of Shadow stratagem plays for 6 points, which is pretty crazy for a stratagem, for a free, you know, 6-point token. And then the Mayloran, however you want to call those activate the eggs as well. And then you have a Baya. Like, I dropped 40 points just off of a single egg.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, but Eider provision was changed from 8 to 7. Katakan power changed from 6 to 5. I thought the
I was
six
just
was.
reading the Catacan part. I mean, it's interesting because they did change the power and made it lower, but the Ekamara spawn is still the same strength as the leader, right? So it's not actually a nerf, but it still has the thrive, which is great.
Yeah, and the thrive on six was kind of could be kind of hard to, you'd have to play at the right time.
100%, especially if you're going just for like a vampire type deck and you're not just going like a monsters as a whole thrive deck, that could actually be beneficial because a couple things might be able to proc it.
Well, when I was
Oh yeah.
playing, when I built that vamp deck, I'm still trying to make work. It was just an awkward play. I just used it more to get the extra vamp on the board for oh God, what's her name? I feel so dumb.
Oriana?
Orianna. Yeah. So it's kind of like I was like Thrive 6. Okay, great. Like, what am I gonna get out here to proc that? So Foka Fuka ability change to armor change from 1 to 0 with a Thrive 2. So, which was just really interesting because they said they released the card that was going to synergize with the card they actually never released. So it was just kind of like this dead card. So they're just like, all right, here you go. Maybe this will work.
I mean, to be fair, I did see somebody run a Karanth or Fuka today, which is kind of funny. And, I
Oh,
guess it was weird.
Karanth. That's just forcing it. I
Yeah.
think it was a shit card, and
Shikard.
I still think it's a shit card.
Rot
Yeah.
Fiend, power change from 4 to 5. Wild Hunt, Hound, provision change from 5 to 4. I think that's a pretty nice little boost for that card, because Wild Hunt Hound can get pretty out of control if it's not dealt with quickly.
Oh yeah, it's a nice little 1 point engine.
Especially if you're talking about a deck that plays super tall, which monsters usually always do for the most point.
Yep.
All right, you guys
I
talk about
do like the Rot
Skeleton.
Fiend
Oh,
though.
go ahead. The Rot Fiend,
Yeah, I
yeah.
was gonna say the Rot Fiend's pretty cool. I do wish it was kind of like, 4 power does 5 damage. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's
Because
basically like the monster's version of Pyrotechnician.
yeah, but we don't need that extra point. I don't want to keep it. I want to spend it on a 5 point removal is what I'm saying. That would
Yeah.
be sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, Skellige.
You guys talk about Skellige.
Oh, Skellige, Skellige. Where do we begin? Lippy.
Yeah, Lippy, probably the big one, right?
Yeah, Lippy. Getting dropped down from 4 power to 3 power, and then its provision count going up from 10 to 11, which may not sound like a lot because it's just a 1-1 change, but it's actually really big because now that means Lippy can't run Curse, I believe. And it may have to drop, or may have to put Snowdrop back in. I don't think it can run as many tall removals and, a Heat Wave Curse, and then you have, what's the other tall removal that they have? I can't think of it right now.
Well, those are the main two. Then you might have like your stunning blows and stuff like that for a
Well, I've
mid-range
seen
removal.
Beggars too.
Beckers in
Yeah.
some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've seen Beckers more often like in a Snowdrop list than I've seen it in one that has Curse, but I've seen it definitely been played. I don't think the change to Lippi in itself was like gonna ruin the deck because you could actually just sort of change the Bronze End up a little bit, right? And
Yeah.
still kind of make it for the mass part, the same. I think it's just kind of the collection of changes to Skellige that sort of affects it overall, such as the Kaddush, right? The healing did change from 3 to 2 on the artifact, so that sort of plays for a couple points that adds to the nerf as well, because they're recycling it twice potentially during the game, so they could potentially just be losing that 2 points each time they do it.
Yeah. You have Giant Boar, could be really interesting, right? Because its ranged ability can now target allies, and the provision was changed from 7 to 6. That can synergize, I think, really well with most of the Skeletor decks I see. Olaf power was changed from 8 to 10. That's a pretty big thing, I would think. But I don't play Skellige, so.
Rockpire Hunter, it's also now Rowlocked. Its
Yep.
ability is now only tied to the ranged row, which is pretty big. I mean, now we know that those cards are basically just as vulnerable now as the ships. They were really good, the beast energies. They were pretty good engines to have because, not only did they damage your opponent's units, but they also damaged your own units too, which Slippy kind of thrives off of Self Wound to proc Xeris.
100%. The only thing I don't like about this for a Lippi deck is that Lippi wants to play this on the ranged row because everything else is going to be discarded and come to the melee row.
Yeah,
So I think
exactly.
it's going to see more play perhaps in like a Warriors build or something like that, where you can move it and then it's not working anymore. Like that's when you're really going to be able to counter it.
And then obviously the biggest change for Skip, well, not biggest, but one of the biggest changes is Heron Kadoosh. Its heal power got changed from 3 to 2, which is really big because now it's not playing for the 14 points that it was playing before for only 8 provisions. Now it's just 12 for 8. That's a big deal because, now it also means that your Bear Witchers that you would normally play with them, they would come down and come down as an 8 body and then hit themselves for 3 and then damage for 3 on Adrenaline 4. Now they're only going to come down, hit themselves for 3, deal 3 damage, but then they're only going to get healed up to 7 power from the location on the next turn.
What do you guys think? Anything else you want to talk about there? Or you want to move on to Northern Realms?
I mean, that's pretty much it. I think the biggest play right now is the Urseen Ritual play. And I see a lot of people today moving at least away from the Lippi, and they're playing more of like the him combo with the Olaf and stuff like that. So we might see more of that, just like a heavy boost Urseen Ritual deck. But it's too early in the season to tell. I'd say let's move on to Northern Realms.
Northern Realms getting the provision bonus from 15 to 16 for a pincer maneuver, which
Yep.
is, I guess, okay. Nobody really plays that leader ability.
Probably why they're
Unless you're,
giving a little boost there.
yeah, unless you're playing like, the big chicken deck. I think that's probably the only time you ever run pincer maneuver, if you're running the Archgriffin.
Yeah, and now it makes it that much better because with the Archgriffin getting the provision change from 10 to 9, you can actually pull with Amphibious right now. So you're guaranteed to get it with Pinsir, and then you're guaranteed to get it with Amphibious. And if you run a deck that has John Talos and Amphibious, you're pretty well, I would say
Yeah.
90% of the time, going to be getting that card. It still poses as a huge threat of keeping it on the playing field during the game and not having an easy Purified Defender, Heat Wave, or whatever. But if you could pull it off, it's going to be kind of scary. So I think we're going to see it played, but I don't think it's going to be a super competitive deck.
Yeah, the Griffin Witcher Ranger's ability change the formation, deploy, boost self by 1 for each unit on enemy row, and order transfer all boosts from self to an allied unit.
Formation's kind of big because now it has the option to boost itself up by 1 on the ranged row.
Gives a little bit extra, a little bit extra power, a little bit more use of it. You have
And then
Margarita, who
Magadita, yep, block.
it's a
The Lord locks.
that's a pretty good buff. I mean, power change from 5 to 6, provision change from 7 to 6. I mean, that's definitely in both ways, right?
Yeah, it's a strong card in a short round as well. If you think about it, they go first, they play an engine, you drop this for 6 and lock it on a 3-card round. You got some good points on the board and you're stopping an
Yeah.
engine in one play and it's a cheap card. So I kind of like it.
How about this? Reinforced Trebuchet. Getting the crew bonus now. I mean, that makes it a little harder to set up, but it does have damage a random enemy unit by 1 instead. It's no longer row locked to just hitting ranged row targets, which is really
100%.
nice.
I was sort of theory crafting a way to sort of put this together and make it work. And I'm thinking with the reintroduction of Siege, right? People are trying to get back into playing Siege given the buff to this. You'd be running like a frigate, and the volunteers would be your crew.
Yeah, when you got if you got Alba, if you got Alba Pikeman and you have Trebuchet out, that could get kind of really fucking annoying.
The pikemen, they run those are the Nilfgaard ones, right? The ones that were melee locked.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, melee
Okay.
locked. Just yeah. So Skoyatel, we're moving on to Skoyatel, right? So people talk about playing Harmony now.
I don't think Harmony will ever come back. As much as we want it to, I don't still think it will.
Call of Harmony provision
Waters.
bonus change from 15 to 16.
Waters is just Waters, It's never gonna have Mystic Echo strength again.
Not the double.
Yeah, but with the extra provision, hear me out. So before you'd have 12 provision on Mystic Echoes, then you'd just play Waters and then you'd leader, right? So you get the four Waters out, the four dryads on the playing field.
Yep.
This 16 provision actually gives you room to kind of cram a little portal in there or something, you know, and sort of rinse the bronze end and then basically get that little deck thinning aspect because, you know, the justice nerf. And then you have, you know, the next waters you could just play. So that could maybe see some play. I don't know how it would do in a competitive environment, but I think just with the provision cost of 16 for the deck extra, you could fit a lot of good cards in there that you otherwise couldn't fit with OG, you know, Mystic Echo Harmony.
Yeah. Yeah, the Barclay Elves provision changed from 7 to 6, so you might see some more dwarf decks coming in, or maybe people playing it more. Cat Witcher Saboteur power change from 3 to 4. Cat Witcher Adrenaline change from 4 to 3. What else do we got? Novigrad.
Are the Dryad Fledglings 4 provision count, by the way, or are they 5s?
What's that?
Are the Dryad Fledglings, are they 4 provisions or 5?
Those are 4.
Are they? I thought they were 5s.
No.
Look it up.
I'm just looking right now just to make sure. I thought they were 5s. I guess something's wrong. They are 4s. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is it Cyrian Esnalin power change from 7 to 6. Again, another lock a unit and move it to the other row. So more locks, more locks, more locks.
Yep. Yep, lock.
No more fun is what we're going for, is what people say, right? Exactly. I think locking is fun. I like the sound.
This is what really got me off
yeah,
the board with Scoin. So Yorvith getting a power change from 3 to 4, and then his Gambit card, 13 to 12, like, traps? What?
Yeah, their traps get played. Here's the thing, like, if you look at the bigger picture here, right, Orvith and then the Gambit got the buff, but if you go up to the neutrals, so did a lot of the move cards, right? So I'm thinking that you could set up a perfect crushing trap now, you know what I mean? I think that they just lack a couple more good traps, but again, you could make better use of the ones we have with these buffs.
And then I would think, yeah, no, I was just saying, I was just agreeing with them. I would think that, you know, that's probably their plan, was to give, you know, more, I guess, cards that normally wouldn't get played in factions, just more playability. That's all.
Yeah. That can change the meta quickly too. You know, not, maybe not huge, but, you know, give you something else to look out for.
Exactly. We have
Maureen Moren provision change from 7 to 6. So then again, another lock card. Also has melee damage unit by 2, right? So that would be, you know, gives you the option to choose how you want to play it. So a little bit more, yeah. So then Novigradian Justice got a nerf, somewhat of a nerf, right?
Huge nerf.
Yeah.
Huge. So basically, it still pulls a bronze dwarf, or now it has the Crown Splitter tag from your deck. But you have to control a dwarf prior to playing Justice to also spawn the Cleaver's Muscle on the melee row. So now you kind of have to have like a little bit of a setup in order if you still want to pull the Volunteers out for Scorito, which almost makes it seem like, do you ever really want to run this card in Scorito anymore?
Well, I think it was too powerful. Like they said, it was a huge tempo play with double Fen. So it's like, why wouldn't you put that in your Scorito deck?
Exactly. It was pretty much a must-have in every Scorito deck. I don't think you didn't see a Scorito deck that didn't run it.
Yeah, it was like pretty much auto-include status, and I think that that's what they're trying to get away with that change, is just, you know, making that so that people don't have to play it, or making it harder to play so that it's a little bit more interesting, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Then we have Vernaseal's Commando provision change from 5 to 4, so then again, kind of lining in with more of the engine cards. At the end of your turn, boost self by 1 if you control only elf units. So that would be Feign Death, right? So
yep, Feign Death. Yep. And fun. Then that was the last thing, right? Well, all right, the Harmony Leader too, right? She got buffed. Oh, okay, we talked about her, okay.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting as that play. We go to Filthguard. Imprisonment provision change from 15 to 16, so they just want us to lock more. So that's what they're trying to say.
Yep, lock.
You also have Ox power change from 5 to 6, just more lock. Just provision change from 7 to 6. Just take all the fun away, right?
Get people all you know, upset again.
Today was the first time I actually saw somebody run the Ox builds. And I played four Larva, and he locked all four of them at the same time. I felt sad.
So it worked.
It worked. I was like, yep, lock.
I'm surprised Experimental Remedy got a provision change from 6 to 5. I already thought that was a pretty good card.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's, now you'll be able to pull any of your opponent's bronze cards from their graveyard and play them on your side.
A lot of that, especially in your like Assimilate decks, right? So, yikes.
Assimilate, even Clog, too, right? Would you run that in Clog? No. Oh, I mean, Enslave, my bad. Enslave.
You know, that's going to be horrible for Mill.
What'd you say?
It's going to make Mill even worse.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just going to play copies of those Viper Witchers and stuff. It's going to be nasty.
I was first time I played one of those, I was like, what is he doing? And then I passed, and I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the most controversial change. I don't like this at all, personally.
Go for it. What is it?
The Viper Witcher Mentor, it's Adrenaline Change from 2 to 3. That card is already really powerful. It has a, you know, what's the word? 6 provision cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on before it was on Adrenaline 2, you know, you get to boost yourself like by the highest card in your opponent's starting deck. Most of the time, you could basically put their Neuromancy back in and then that card played for, you know, 13 points just easily.
100%. If you're playing against like a lot of Nilfgaard decks that have, let's say, Masquerade Ball, you're literally getting 15 points.
Yeah, that too.
You know, Witcher Mentors, and you could play two from deck and one from location, and even another one from Artorias if you want.
Yeah.
So the fact that they have four ways to access one card, 60 points on four turns, plus what Colgrim's worth, you know, in that ballpark, it's getting kind of toxic. And this is day one. So yeah, that Cloggers, card made it a very challenging day for me.
Yeah, Cloggers did not need buffs. They're already strong as it is. With the amount of trash fill that they can put into your deck, now you have, you know, four cards that can drop 60 points, like you were saying, and then you also have Corrin to deal with as well. As well as the Defender. Like, oh, that's a lot of answers to deal with. You just don't have any. It's all punishes. Unless you're running, like, a Yurden.
It's looking like we're all going to have to start teching in, purifies, you know, the spores again, the purify for the defender, the heat waves. There, you know, there's only so many ways that you could actually get it behind a defender, right? So it's going to be a little bit challenging. Curse of Corruption or Scorch might see a lot of play. Maybe, you know, because if they put down three Viper Witcher Mentors, actually, I'm thinking about it, you could just hit them all, right, with Scorch.
Oh, what about that Igni play this morning, bro?
Oh yeah, I got.
you got Igni for 28 points. I was mauling for him.
I got Igni today, and I got Yurden twice so far. So it's one of those. I was like, if I can't beat him, we'll join him. I started doing the whole Viper Witcher Mentors, and then I play against Yurden. It's like, what are the odds, man?
So moving on to Syndicate.
Yeah.
The greatest collusion. Faction of them all.
Greatest faction.
Collusion. Of all. Provision change from 11 to 10. Which isn't bad. I mean, it's hard to line up collusion, but I don't hate this provision change. So maybe it does justify it.
I think that it will eventually see some play. I just don't know how it's going to fit right now. I like the idea of collusion, but it's very hard to fit a lot of the unique, again, categories in one deck that works well, yeah, right?
So I think the hardest thing to stick is the Tidecloaks, right? Because that's just Sea Jackal and like all those pirate-based cards that Syndicate has.
Yeah, like specifically when I've been building decks before that have had collusion, the trickiest part was making like the Blind Eyes in the same deck as like a Fire Swarm. For the most part, with Von Hurst, it helps. But then you have the problem of, like I said, getting the rest of them. And if you're playing like a, again, crime deck, it's, yeah, I'd have to sort of tinker with it a bit more. I'm thinking like Nine provision would be very, very tempting, but it might be overpowered.
So we may see
Ten
your
is still
Life of Crime
tough.
deck get a little touch
I
up.
was, well, that's the first thing I thought about, right?
Yeah.
So if there's a way to do it, I'm trying to solve it. It just hasn't been solved by me yet.
Leave it to the Syndicate Master Snow, your
Yeah.
guru.
The next one, failed experiment, the power changing from 9 to 10, it's cool and all. I just don't think that failed experiment is like the go-to pull from location if you're going to be running it off location. But if you're in a jam in a short round and you have location, for example, you could play that last turn and get some good 10 points on the board. You know, it's not too bad. I would probably run the location to get it versus running an actual copy of it from deck, but.
Yeah, and then Fallen Rayla, big change. Adrenaline change from 3 to 5. So,
Huge.
yeah, that's
I think that's going to be what makes it playable at this point,
yeah.
because we saw people tried it out for the first couple days of the expansion, then they just stopped playing it altogether. Now maybe we'll get the stick. The problem is keeping it safe. It has sort of the Kolgrim effect, right? You know, it could go tall rather quick, so we have to make sure maybe Azar's in there or something to kind of keep it out of harm's reach.
Yeah, as long as we're playing the tributes around it, because it does boost itself by the tributes coin
Yeah.
costs.
Then you have Kurt, another that was I think a really good buff too, right? So plays about an enemy unit, purify unit, provision change from 7 to 6, power change from 5 to 6.
So this is Syndicate losing their one of their I think their only lock card, right? Their only faction
Yeah.
specific lock card.
You know, at first I was so against it. I was like, why are they doing that? But then I realized, you know what? The bounty's kind of nice too.
Yeah.
'Cause you have the
Yeah.
Morils on tribute destroy an enemy. You get the bounty coin for that, right? You have
Graydon.
Horsen's Freak Show. That's an easy setup with that. Graydon, like you said, is a really good one as well. Any of your poison kills are gonna do it too. So it really kind of helps keep the coins going, and it allows you to maybe look at potentially playing some leader abilities besides Hidden Cash that don't give you as much coin right off the get-go, right? Or besides Jackpot, for example. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I think that it's, I wouldn't say an auto include, but a consideration for most decks right now for Syndicate, just based on its power and its provision buff.
No, now that I'm looking at it, this could be like a cheaper alternative to Caleb. You
That's
know,
what
if
I
you don't
was
have.
thinking. Because Caleb, you don't generally get more than one off of it anyways.
Yeah,
Maybe one
and
or
you have
two
to
before
pay
they resolve
three
it.
coins just to even put a bounty on any card that you
Exactly.
want.
Well, you do get the profit of three when you deploy it, but it's just a matter of getting it to stick and putting bounty, completing kill, and trying to recycle that process. That's the tricky part, right? I do like the fact that they could just do it on deploy. Graydon will just kill it on deploy, and of course Graydon has his own tribute effect as well, which plays really well into the Fallen Rayla. So that whole thing has been very interesting. Snow sent me a deck this morning, and I'm actually looking at trying it out and seeing how that'll take its course.
And we had Madame Louisa. So added a tribute 3, gain zeal. So they're removing the risk of playing it, and now you can play it immediately if you pay the tribute.
Yeah, no order ability for Louisa. She doesn't have to survive a turn. So now we may see the reemergence of Sylvollis Frightener and all that stuff coming back.
100%. And I'm thinking that it's going to be a lot easier to fit this in a deck now too, given the fact that it's, you know, only a trip three and you gain zeal, and it actually lets us save quite a bit on the top end. But the tricky part is when you have cards like Fallen Rayla and Madame Louisa and Savola, they're all in like that 8-9 range. Nine, you know what I mean? The upper sort of upper mid to high range cards. Now, I'm just thinking about like what else could we like what would we have to cut in order to put all these cards back in, and that's kind of it's tricky.
I mean, I think we would just not run a run bank anymore, maybe. Or not bank, but Nero. We just took the bank.
That would make a good adjustment. But yeah,
That's
stuff like
four
that
provisions
has
you're
to be
saving
taken in
on.
consideration when cramming all these cards back in, right? But I love
Yeah, I
to
would
see
think
it.
you would want to run bank, Louisa, Savola, maybe your jocks. That'd probably be your only over 10 cost card. or maybe Philippa as well.
Yeah, we
got, I feel like those might be the only over 10 cards you want to run.
And we have, what, three changes to Salamandra cards? Salamandra Abomination, Dredalin change from 4 to 6, Salamandra Lackey ability change to the first time you gain a coin each turn, boost self by 1, so that will work better with cards that generate coins at the end of a round. And then the Salamandra Mage.
I think the Mage got the best work so far.
If I look at the Abomination, though, first, like I feel like that's almost like an indirect nerf, because what happens is now you can't transfer the poison with location to your opponent as easily, and your opponent's going to be going tall towards the end of the round. So the fact that you have to get this off so early on in a long round, let's say they haven't played like a Joachim or something that's going to go very tall, it's going to be hard to pick that poison off and throw it on something else, because it'll just purify itself at end of turn. You know what I mean? So I wasn't really keen on the Abomination change, but the other ones are great.
The Mage. I think the Mage has got the biggest amount of changes so far, because it's got Chirp 4, damage 3 adjacent enemy units by 2. Whenever you pay a tribute ability, gain 1 coin. And if it has Adrenaline 5, gain 2 coins instead. So at most, what is this card playing for? It's got a power of 5, correct?
Yeah, the power is 5. And
so yeah, it could potentially play for 7, 9, 11 for 5.
Right, and just get ready for all the memes, I'm telling you. Like, someone's going to bring out Igor and make a bunch of copies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a
Fuchsia. Well, does that work? Because if you hear me, to spawn?
I want to see a Fuchsia deck with 17 friggin' mages on the board.
Yeah, so I think that's all the cards. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. They have some, like we said, the new journey, and then the game fixes. I didn't know you couldn't use Sienna's Order into Mata and draw 2 cards.
Yeah, apparently, which is pretty funny. That wasn't they said it was never working like intended, and now it does.
Yeah.
So you basically, if you guys are familiar with Yu-Gi-Oh! Days, you now have a free pot of greed.
So that's just playing even more into mill.
Yep. Because not only is Mata drawing you 2 Man. Cards, but she's also giving you your 2 highest cost cards in deck. And you're giving your opponent their 2 lowest cards.
I remember the simple days where you just put cards on the playing field.
Right.
Now they're moving. There's flashing row effects. Yeah. You got people shoving all your cards in the grave. Stuff in your deck. Certainly a lot more going on than there was even 6 months ago.
It's not a poor man's squint game anymore.
I like the Master Mirror days at this point.
Yeah, right.
Give me back the shield walls and the double masquerade balls almost.
Give me back the 6-powered Herald who could armor penetrate. that was great.
So the game's evolving.
Game is evolving. Lots of changes.
Also, a new UI change happened today as well. They actually added full screen visual effects now when using your premium stratagems. Really nice. I think so far Crystal Skull and Urn of Shadows have the coolest looking ones, because it surrounds the entire screen for Crystal Skull in like a purple haze, almost like you're going to like a black hole. And then Urn of Shadows is like a whole red swirl, and then it just splashes you with blood. It's pretty cool.
I'm just trying to play cards, man.
Yeah, that's kind of my reaction when I first saw it. I saw a TA, and I'm like, man, why is it doing all that nonsense? Well, somebody, and like the sound effects that are going on, I'm just like, shit.
Somebody was like, well, they're doing it to make the game more streamable. And I was like, yeah, because whatever. I'm not going to get into it.
The game's streamable because we love talking about it with each other. Exactly. And everybody's just hanging out, right?
you got to appeal to the eye candy, man.
It doesn't have to be super...
Sometimes it's just flashy. Too much, man. It's like, I don't want to have a
Give me back shirt. Witcher 3, Gwent.
Yeah, right? Guaranteed. I'm calling it. I'm calling it.
Just a board.
Yeah.
Give it one more year, and we're going to have full 3D models coming out of the cards. I'm calling it.
It's going to be like Final Fantasy when you call your, whatchamacallit, right? It's like a 35-second cutscene when you play a card.
Yeah. I kid you not. Just wait. We're going to have full 3D models coming out of our Gwent cards next year.
No, your player charges up like Goku before before they actually do the damage.
Oh gosh.
Well, yeah, we pretty much hit the 50-minute mark. We were gonna talk about CDPR and stuff, but we'll save it for another episode, I guess.
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. We apologize for the late episode post. So we hope you guys got a little bit of time to play the game before you kind of go into the patch notes, which is usually a good thing to do. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And like I said, make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. Also, comment. That helps us a ton. 5-star ratings are also great. Helps us move up the Apple list. Otherwise than that, you guys all have a great night.
See everyone.
Take care.
Next time.